Our scripture reading for this Lord's Day is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and I will be sharing with you verses 24 through 35. I invite you to listen for the word of God to you. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the man in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May God bless this reading of his holy word this day. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So it is wonderful to be back with you after being away on vacation. As I hope you know, Tom and I enjoy time at Chautauqua Institution in New York State every summer. So that's where we were. No secret where we were or what we did. Look up Chautauqua online and you can get a feel for all that we were able to experience. It is a great place. Folks have this debate about where the word Chautauqua came from. Sometimes it's a little hard to pronounce. It is actually a Native American word for the lake that is there. And, you know, there's several theories. One is it means where the fishing is good. I like that one. The other less exciting theory is that it means a rope tied in the center of a bag. And that's because of the shape of the lake. It kind of goes in the center. We had a good time. Enough about all of that. But one of the things that happened while I was away is I got to thinking about a question I had the privilege of asking myself each and every day. And that is, I asked myself, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? Now, some vacations are such that they're the pre-planned kind. I know you've gone on trips where you decide ahead of time how it will all go, and your transportation is scheduled out, and maybe a tour is part of the package deal, and you know the special events that you're going to go to. And so it's sort of that pre-planned kind of vacation. Well, for us, it's not like that at all. So I think there's kind of two kinds of people, those that like the scheduled up one and those that like the freedom of being able to decide what they want to do on any given day. What do I want to do was the question of the day. Do I want to eat breakfast or not? Really, that was a choice I often made. Do I want to go to this program or not? Do I want to read or take in a special event or go by the water or not? Those were the critical life decisions that I got to make while I was away. You know, I think about how that relates to what we do each and every day. I mean, how often do we think, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? It's amazing how one word like that, want, can sort of dictate our mindset, right? And think about how that word can also speak to the deep truth and the deep desire that may rest dormant in our hearts. What do I want for my life? I mean, there is a wonderful freedom in being able to say, I want to do this, rather than saying, I'm obligated to do this, or I need to spend my time in this way because that's the good and the responsible thing to do, or I need to get all of this done during the day before time just escapes and gets away from me. None of that is bad. And there is the good that we want to feel obligated to. Hearing ourselves, though, trying to come to grips with what we want can be a way of looking at the deep desire in our innermost hearts. And it can be that way in matters small as well as matters great. So I have the privilege of looking out at each one of you today, and I know how precious it is that you decided to be here. You decided to be here in the midst of all the possibilities of the things you could do or the places you could go. You decided to be here. And hopefully it's not out of any kind of obligation, but it speaks to an identifiable deep yearning that is inside of you. Do you have the sense that this is where I want to be? Given any opportunity out there. So in some respects, if we think about it that way, we also need to remember we've been given a convenient structure to go to. I mean, we have a building, right, that we can congregate in. So that's sort of laid out for us, and that helps in our decision making. We have watches that point to the time, and we know 10 o'clock on Sunday morning what is happening. We have a convenient time that's somewhat set aside in our culture, except it's less and less that way. We know we can count on coming here, and we have all these convenient ways that encourage us, Can we imagine, though, what it would be like if we didn't have a structure? If we didn't have, you know, that sort of set time that I am speaking about, if for some reason none of that existed, would we still want what we experience here? I think that when we realize there is a never failing, all-sustaining, loving God that enlivens us each and every minute of the day, that recreates us each and every minute of the day, that brings a new awareness of what life is all about, what meaning is all about, that we're continually and reliably and, as I said, unfailingly within us. There's that bread of heaven. We can think about the church. We can think about the convenient time, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, in a little different way. Because we know that what is accessible here for us is accessible everywhere, everywhere for us. Do we hear ourselves and our innermost being in touch with that bread of heaven each and every day? What Jesus talked about, bread of heaven. There's a reason bread is used in the scripture passage. Give us this day our daily bread. It is immediate. It is without mediation. It is there for us to partake in and there for us to nurture our lives with. It offers up a way station for us, just as this church offers up a way station for us. It offers up a way station for us each and every day in the midst of people to see and places to go and things that we need to do. I invite you to go back hundreds upon hundreds of years, okay? Think about that early church. I mean, they didn't have the same kind of structure that we have to go to when the need was there. They met in homes, regular homes. They didn't rely on a convenient time all of the time that was just carved out for them. There was such a dynamism to their faith each and every day. They came together because they knew that alone they couldn't make it. But it wasn't a reason to come together only that they sought out the bread of heaven. Jesus never said, and I've talked about this before, "This is my commandment to you. You shall establish a place and a time and worship God and remember me at that place and that time, lest you forget, and you shall call that place and time church." Can't find that anywhere in the scriptures, right? The earliest followers of Jesus established places and times to be together, not because they were afraid they were going to neglect God throughout the rest of the week. No. Rather, each and every day, their faith was so familiar to them. They sensed the bread of heaven, right? It was just so palpable, they couldn't imagine not coming together to share and rejoice together. Every time we have our communion, we remember Jesus sharing a supper with those disciples and then the followers imitating him after that. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in those small communities after Jesus, they knew the familiarity of that, not because it was a once a month or so experience. They knew it because they felt the experience in their lives in a daily way. That's why, you know, it was so familiar. Every time we celebrate communion, I think of those folks so long ago. And the thing is, though, it wasn't just the brief meal kind of tagged on. Sometimes we feel like to our worship service that we have, you know, we celebrate today. It was a full meal. They ate dinner together, and as part of the dishes clashing and catching up with how the harvest was doing and the latest births in the community, they share bread and cup in remembrance of Jesus. They knew the ground under their feet was holy ground. They had this instant kind of recall of who Jesus was with his disciples. It wasn't something that they remembered from long, long, long ago as a memory. It was there as bread of heaven. In recent years, there's been such a renewed interest in the Celtic tradition. And I think there's a real reason why. You know, the Celtic people, they had this sense of thin places where heaven met earth and you could experience the sacred and the holy in an immediate way, in an earthy way as well. Every moment, waking or sleeping, they said different prayers, right? They had prayers for everything, be it lighting the fire in the morning, be it putting the fire out at night. They had specific prayers for milking the cows, making butter, weaving, herding animals. Esther DeWall, she's a well-known Celtic scholar, and she says, they are the prayers of a people who are so busy. We're so busy. They are the prayers of a busy people who are busy dawn to dusk, from dark to dark. They have little time for long formal prayers. Could that be you? Instead, throughout the day, they do whatever has to be done carefully. They give it their full attention, and yet they make it at the same time an occasion for prayer. What if we were to recognize the bread of heaven that recreates us daily with a prayer, say, when we get into the car, a prayer when we go to Home Depot to pick up a part that we need, a prayer, say, when we take out the garbage, or we walk our pets, or we drink coffee, all then comes into our awareness as bread of heaven. All of you know by now that I follow the Episcopal priest, prolific writer, college professor, Barbara Brown Taylor. If you haven't read her book, Alter in the World, find it, read it. It will expand your understanding of all that I'm saying this morning. And she has said this, and I ask you to pay careful attention to her words. As important as it is to mark the places where we meet God, I worry about what happens when we build a house for God. I am speaking no longer of the temple in Jerusalem or of the house of worship on the corner where people of faith meet to say their prayers, because saying them together reminds them of who they are better than saying them alone. This is good. This is good. It is good. And all good things, though, cast a shadow, right? Do we build God a house so that we can choose when we go to see God? Do we build God a house so that we can choose when we go to see God? Do we build God a house in lieu of having God stay at ours? Plus, what happens then to the rest of the world? When we build four walls, even four gorgeous walls, cap them with a steepled roof, and designate that the house of God, what happens to the riverbanks, the mountaintops, the deserts, and the trees? Bread of heaven. It's everywhere. God's love, mercy, grace is sustaining us, recreating us, emboldening us to serve for the good of the world. It's everywhere. Let's never say it's here and fail to then say it's over there or out there. It's everywhere. Praise be to God, the giver of all life. And let the people say amen. 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 Let us pray. Oh God, enliven us, recreate us, help us as we see your sustaining grace and power and love and mercy daily, every moment. May we truly recognize that we do not go to see you. You do not come to be with us. All of life is a gift of your presence. And we thank you for the bread of heaven. Amen.